to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley has initiated several recent efforts focused on area youth. Today, join host Lotta Murdy and her guests from Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, Executive Director Edwin Weaver, and also Lonzo Perez, Program Specialist focused on youth homelessness services. We'll be finding out more about their efforts and their projected impact. We do invite you to listen, learn, and participate in today's conversation. Be part of the conversation by calling us today at 805-781-3875. Or, as always, if you have a follow-up question, you can send your questions after the program to voices@kcbx.org. And with that, let's join Lotta Murdy and her guests. Over to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. So, Edwin, the last time you were on the show is almost exactly a year ago. And you were talking about the grand opening of Hope Village Homeless Shelter in Santa Maria and Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's involvement with the shelter. So, Lonzo, Edwin, do you have any updates on Hope Village to share a year later?
Yeah, I do. Just as a reminder, it's not simply a shelter that most people think about. It's a tiny village. So we have 91 small units individually for each person. And Fighting Back's role is to help with those young people ages 18 to 24. Good Samaritan Shelter hosts the rest of the population, which includes veterans and respite care from the hospital. And so those who have medical needs and need to be discharged from the hospital who are unhoused are able to stay there and get the care they need brought in. And so we're very proud of the work that we've done over this last year for the 10 beds that we units that we supervise. Specifically, we've had 23 residents live there this year. 10 have exited onto permanent housing after they've been at Hope Village. Three decided that that wasn't for them and left without permanent housing, and we still have 10 there now. So we're very happy with those statistics that we were able to successfully house permanently 10 of the people who stayed there, and we're working with the 10 who are there now who are working their way towards permanent housing.
Excellent. Lonzo, any other updates to share?
Yes. One update I would like to share is one of my most recent clients who was recently housed at Hope Village has moved into our new resiliency home, and he is connected to Allen Hancock College. And he is a young man who has come from our own streets, who has been struggling with homelessness for the past 5 years. So he has finally gained some more permanent residency, and he's really excited for the future now.
That's wonderful. When did you start working?
I started at Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley September of 2024 last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's been about 6 months.
Yeah, about 6 months. Six great months.
Wonderful. And so there are some more recent youth initiatives that that Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley has been involved in. Do they also involve housing, or have they been other projects?
Yeah, so a couple things. Lonzo just mentioned our transitional housing program. We have a 5-unit house that we've converted. It's in a residential neighborhood, and that's for emergency housing, but it's congregate, meaning it's shared housing, and it allows people like the client he was just talking about to get short-term housing in emergencies. And so he can be there up to a year while he goes to school, and we work toward a permanent place for him. So that's a really nice piece of the puzzle. The other big one is our navigation center. So we don't have a name for it yet, but we purchased a building with the help of Santa Barbara County and the city of Santa Maria went together and gave Fighting Back community development block grant monies to purchase a building, and we did, and we closed in December. Our tenant is still there and they're moving out, but then what that'll be is a one-stop shop for unhoused transitional age youth. It's they'll be able to come in, they'll be able to do their laundry, get a light snack, work on their paperwork or work on their computer, maybe even take a nap on the couch, and take a shower. and work with the people who are working there from Fighting Back, which includes a substance abuse counselor, a therapist, case manager, and housing navigator, and somebody who does rapid rehousing. So it's a place where they will know they can come and get help to get off the streets and to get housed. And we're in the middle of a campaign to raise money for the renovation, and we're pretty confident we're going to get there. And then hopefully be open in June. And so right now that navigation center is at our current location, which is 201 South Miller, Suite 105. But then we're going to move the whole operation over there for our transitional age youth work that we do.
And that navigation center is the news you shared with me in January, right, when
yes.
we were at the Upward Mobility Summit
Absolutely.
At Hancock College. And we decided, it's been a year, and Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley has done a lot, so it's time to have you on the show again. Are you involved with the Navigation Center, Lonzo?
I am. So the Navigation Center is actually one of my favorite places, only because it gives my clients a place to not only find community, but also find their necessities met. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we have young individuals come into the office who haven't had a meal throughout their day. A lot of them haven't even had a bottle of water, some coffee. So they're able to come in there, get themselves some coffee, get them a couple noodles, or get them a light snack to enjoy. And while at the Navigation Center, we do have Wi-Fi. We have computers where they can do some of their work. They do a lot of job search. We help them with workshops involving resumes, involving communication skills. So it's really been a great resource for a lot of my clients, and probably one of the only resources that most of them have at the moment.
So tell us more about these young clients. What ages do they tend to be? And what have been some of their stories? You told us one. Is that a pretty typical story?
Yes, that is a pretty typical story with some of our Santa Maria youth. Now, all of our youth is between the ages of 18 and 24. All of our youth mostly come from the Santa Maria Valley or Orchid, Lompoc. Our youth have been struggling with homelessness, a lot of them not only through their own youth challenges, but also generational. It's been coming back from generations of homelessness through their families, through their parents, and now this generation is the one that's really facing the most problems with homelessness due to our rising living cost.
Yeah, the cost of living is really rising.
Out of control.
And so how many generations would you say?
For example, one young man I am working with right now, two generations back. His grandma was homeless for most of her life. Mom grew up in the shelter system, and then he grew up many years in the shelter system as well, and now he finds himself in a shelter himself.
And all in Santa Maria?
All in Santa Maria.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, Edwin, in March, Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley received a grant from Youth Making Change. Is that with the Fund for Santa Barbara?
Yeah. So we do have quite a few programs other than our Homeless Transitional Age Youth Services. And so what you're alluding to is our substance abuse prevention work that we do. We have cannabis mentors who work in the schools or in the community. So when a young person is found carrying cannabis and they're underage, instead of going to jail or going to juvenile court, they get sent to us, and they do an education program, the dangers of cannabis to their young brains. And then we have a tobacco prevention program that we work really hard on vaping and reducing vaping all throughout the county. And so one of the big strategies around youth substance use is teaching young people to advocate for themselves and teaching them how to talk to their peers about reducing substance use. And so what they suggest is teaching the young people, and then the young people do the presentations themselves. So we went to the Fund for Santa Barbara and asked them if they wouldn't mind funding our youth group, our youth action group, so that they could get better prepared to provide training for the youth themselves going into the schools. And there's actually a national conference that they'd like to go to get trained as well. And there they do what's called a logic model, and they develop programs using, you know, you're a sociologist, social processes on how to affect change, and then they're going to execute it. So they're very excited about it.
Tell us more about this conference.
I'm trying to remember where it is this year.
What is it called?
It's called CADCA. It's the Community Drug-Free Communities Conference. So we are a Drug-Free Communities Coalition. We've been going for 20 years now. We meet every month, and the youth are a part of that. And then this conference is the summer conference where a lot of the youth go. And I want to say it's in New Orleans, but that's probably going to be wrong. I'll probably get corrected when I get back to the office. But yeah, they have it every year, and the young people really get to see other young people who are doing affecting change in their community. They get very inspired, and then they also come back with a plan on what they implement this year. So that'll be for next school year.
And this is the first time that youth from Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley are going, or from Santa Maria?
No, they usually get to go. This is the first time we've been able to ask for the fund for Santa Barbara to support it. Funding's been a little bit tricky lately, and so we're really happy that they were able to support our young people as they work toward trying to create a safe community.
I'll be eager to hear what they learn.
Well, you should have them on your show.
I will consider it maybe this fall after they go. How many youth?
I think there's 4 going. There might be as many as 6. So, yeah, they're a pretty excited group of folks. Some of them are going to head off to college, so I don't know if they're going to go out of the area for college or they'll be in town.
And these are from all area schools in Santa Maria?
Yeah, we had some from Santa Maria High School, from Pioneer, and from some of the junior highs as well.
Wonderful. Congratulations. So are there any connections between this work, the work you do, Lonzo, for housing and homelessness, and the work that's also happening with substance abuse and youth?
Yeah. So, I mean, Fighting Back was established as a drug-free communities organization, really trying to communicate to young people to stay off of drugs back in 2003. When I started in 2014, I started asking the question, what are the drivers for substance use in youth? You know, why is a third grader in the bathroom smoking marijuana and not out on the playground with their friends? And so we started looking at kind of the data, and we realized that high-risk populations are higher in use. So that would be our homeless, our unhoused, kids who are being bullied or being picked on, kids who are in foster care, all these high-risk groups. And so we started programs that would help these young people be successful in school, because if they're successful in school, the likelihood of them turning to drugs is really low. And so that includes truancy. So we have a truancy program that we work with school children to get them to go to school every day. And then what we were finding when we were working with our unhoused in elementary and high school is some of them weren't being successful and were ending up back on the streets as young adults. And so that's why we started the Transitional Age Youth Program. We already knew the young people. They were coming to us for help. And so now we had the resources to help them.
That's great. And there's more I'd like to ask you about that after our first announcement. But before that, I think it's interesting that the title is Cannabis Mentor for those who are in the schools. Can you talk a little bit more about that role and that name?
Yeah, it's a little bit misleading. We're not teaching them to use cannabis. Let's be clear. Yeah, so Prop 64 said, hey, California, you can now as an adult use cannabis. And so that's for people 21 and older. And so the thought around the law was, what do we do when young people are found carrying cannabis? Are we going to treat them as criminals and lock them up? And research shows that's a really bad idea. It doesn't help them, and it actually makes it worse. So Santa Barbara County had a choice to either do drug treatment or drug education. And they chose drug education, and they put what's called out a request for proposal out to the community to see if anybody wanted to do that type of work. And Fighting Back offered and applied to be the agency that would deliver it. So that money, those three staff members who do the work are funded through cannabis sales. And then the way they get referrals is if a young person is found carrying cannabis, no matter what age, they get the information and they call the home and talk to the parents. And then they have a 4 or an 8 hour class depending on how much quantity they're carrying. And then they have to do community service. And when they do all of that, the record of them carrying cannabis goes away, illegally carrying cannabis. Because it is against the law for them to be carrying cannabis at that age.
Right. Right.
So it's a diversion program.
And a teen program.
Teen. Yeah. Well, yeah, we started out with 21 and under, but probation really wanted us to focus on 18 and under, even though you're not allowed to buy cannabis legally without a medical card under 21. So that 18, 19, and 20-year-old, we don't take referrals for them.
Okay. Yeah, I had said team. As in a team effort.
It is a team effort. We need the referrals from the schools and the law enforcement in the community, and they need help because they don't want these products on their campuses.
I'm Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests today are Executive Director of Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, Edwin Weaver, and Lonzo Perez, Program Specialist focused on youth homeless services with Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley. And we are talking about Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's recent and not so recent initiatives and efforts for youth in the Santa Maria Valley. You can call us at 805-781-3875 or email us at voices@kcbx.org with your questions. So, how is the work that Edwin's been talking about with substance use and schools and mentors also related to homeless youth?
Well, as we know, a lot of the connections between our homeless youth and our substance abuse and mental disabilities are extremely connected. A lot of times through these obstacles, a lot of our young individuals have nowhere to stay, whether it's family or through programs. So they end up on the street. While on the street, in order for them to be able to feel more comfortable or safe, they turn to drugs. A lot of times they turn to the wrong, pretty much the wrong doors, you know? So I feel like it's extremely connected, and having them find mentorship and help and connections through people helping them understand what causes cannabis. When you're abusing cannabis, what it can cause, it really helps them understand that there are other avenues, that there is help out there, and that there are ways of overcoming those obstacles and being able to overcome adversities and be able to find housing, you know, by staying sober.
Mm, yes, very good, Lonzo.
And we have 15 beds that we it's called scattered supportive housing. So that means we go to landlords and ask them to rent to us, and then we put a young person in that. And to qualify, the young person either has some other thing besides being homeless, so usually a substance use disorder or a mental health disorder that's not being treated successfully. And so we have 15 of young people that we supervise and provide case management for, and we also have a therapist who works with them. But, yeah, I mean, it's really hard to watch the progression from, you know, casual partying, and then all of a sudden they have an addiction, and that addiction can be many times a huge factor in them being unhoused because the family – can't house them in their home while they're having these addictive behaviors and these outbursts, and so they end up being on the street, or they get evicted from their apartment or what, you know, wherever they were living, and so then they come to us with an addiction, and so we house them first. We're a housing first organization. We believe if somebody is housed safely and they can take a shower and get a good night's sleep, then we can start talking about other things in their life that are barriers to them being successful, and that includes their substance use.
Mm-hmm. And as you were saying earlier, their academic investment and success.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd like you to talk some more about that, what academic success means in this case, because I could also see, and granted I'm basing this on fictional media, but when there's a high pressure or a lot of pressure to succeed academically, that that could also turn some youth to substance abuse.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we let the client always define what that looks like for them. Well, you know, usually like, what are your goals? What do you want to be doing 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And if they say they want to be a nurse, well, guess what? They are going to go to – they need to get a four-year degree and then some. But if they say they, you know, they like being outside and they like being in nature, maybe they should be at Conservation Corps, or maybe they want to be a park ranger or something like that. And that's a different path. That's an associate's degree or some kind of technical certificate. So it really is about them deciding what success is for them. Of course, we want everybody to get their high school diploma. That you can't really get anywhere these days without that. But after their diploma, it really is – well, here's all these different things. Either, you know, at Hancock, there's so many things besides prep for a four-year college that they could do. And as well as, you know, the Carpenters Association Union, there's a lot of union jobs type of thing, trades. And so it really is up to them to decide what they want to do. And then our job is to help equip them so they can reach those goals.
Lonzo, what kinds of goals are you hearing from the youth that you work with?
With my clients, a lot of goals that we hear about are definitely reconnecting with their families. There's a lot of educational goals. A lot of my clients have dropped out of high school, have no information about going to universities or even going to college. So a lot of their goals definitely stem with education and communication, and also sobriety. So I have, for example, one of my young clients who was recently homeless was finding himself, you know, just battling the drug epidemic that we have going on in Santa Maria. So we were able to house him at the Good Sam shelter. And from the Good Sam shelter, he was able to go into detox. Through detox, he was able to stay there for about 60 days. Once he exited detox, he was able to go into our Hope Village residential program. And then from there, be able to work on those goals in a clearer mindset, as well as around mentors and people that are here for his success. And now through those goals, you know, checking off those little goals are really encouraging him and motivating him to make bigger goals. Like now his next goal is to be accepted to a university. And we would have never thought of that 6 months from now when I met him. I would have never thought he'd say that.
Yeah, it speaks to the success of
yes.
of what you're doing with Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley. So those are some significant goals. What drew you to this work?
I'm going to have to say destiny, because I thought I was going to end up in business, you know, and, you know, just going to college and, you know, sharing my story. I personally myself was a homeless youth. I personally didn't have the programs and the support that a lot of the youth have now. So I feel like it was a calling. And now my calling is to go ahead and spread those resources that I'm learning through the people around me, my coworkers, but also mostly through my own experiences and what helped me, what could have helped me, and just opening those doors for them and kind of, you know, showing them their way through it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that makes a difference that you have your own lived experience.
Yeah, I feel like for both sides, they know I understand, and for me, I can empathize with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are there similar programs to this happening on the Central Coast outside of Santa Maria?
Yeah, I think there's versions of it. You know, I think what makes the city of Santa Maria unique and special is that, how do I say it? There's not a lot of people in the sandbox. And so an organization like Fighting Back exists because there was all these gaps in services and people came to us and asked us if we would fill those gaps. Whereas in other cities that are larger, there tends to be four or five organizations doing the same type of work. So maybe one would be doing housing, one would be doing drugs prevention, one would be doing, you know, academic truancy issues. And so it's kind of split up. what's nice about having one organization do it, and we work really hard at doing it well, is a lot of these families are the same families. And so, I'm the chair of the school attendance review board. So when children are truant and their school isn't able to get the students to go to school ages, first grade through eight, I see those families every year. Not being able to figure out how to get their children to school. And then a lot of those families also are struggling with homelessness or substandard housing. And then maybe there's and those students end up having fighting and behavioral problems in school. And then they end up using drugs or alcohol. And then they end up on the streets. And so there's a progression there, and we can be that friendly face, that helping face the whole time. And we get to know the families pretty well that tend to have some of these chronic issues generationally. And so that's a benefit. But, yeah, there are other programs in other towns that exist, and some towns don't have things. We were invited into this space for transitional age homelessness on transitional youth homelessness because there was a lot of programming in the city of Santa Barbara through Channel Islands YMCA. They're doing a great job down there with Noah's Anchorage and Home for Good and other programs they run, but nobody was doing it in Santa Maria. And so they came to us, the county continuum of care, and said, would you help us in this space? Because we want somebody specifically skilled in working with young people to help us. And so we said, sure, we would love to.
Forgive me, Edwin, if you mentioned this earlier and I missed it, but are any of the youth transitioning out of the homeless shelter program going to be going to this conference in the summer?
They're not, because they're younger. They're minors. And so everybody going to the conference except for one young lady, she might be 18 because she's a senior in high school. And she hopefully will go to Sac State, like I told her to. She wants to be a social worker. Mm. So most of the ones going to the conference are young. But we have had what was fun last year. Last summer, we had a college student come back, an intern for us, who was formerly in our youth group. And she's in her third year in college. And so we do see them. And sometimes we end up hiring some that come back who were part of the youth group as well. But these young people who are going are pretty young still, so they're not on the streets. Their families may be unhoused or might have substandard housing. Many of them do in Santa Maria, but they themselves are not part of Alonzo's program.
Okay, and so this youth group that's outside of Alonzo's program is called a coalition?
They're called a youth action group. And they are sponsored by our coalition. Our coalition is a group of 12 sectors of the community that adults who represent 12 sectors of the community who are focused in on reducing drug and alcohol use or abuse in youth. And they have chosen their two drugs of concern as alcohol and marijuana. Those are the two we see mostly in minors when we're talking about anyone under 18. Those are the two substances we see most abused by that age group.
Cannabis and alcohol. I'm going to ask you what those 12 sectors are after our break.
Great.
So I'll give you a little time to prepare. But we are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Brad.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, the unknown history of the iconic little black dress.
Something about dressing rich, mostly white women is uncomfortable, especially while you're wearing the little black dress, your work uniform. You begin to wonder, why do I look like I'm her maid?
That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, Syria may be on the verge of a new era of unity, or it may descend into anarchy, and the outcome will affect the Middle East and the U.S. Syria's transitional president founded the Syrian branch of Al-Qaeda, but he's now preaching inclusivity. We'll talk with Robert Worth of The Atlantic about his reporting. Join us.
Train robberies, it turns out, are still a thing.
They cut the locks off the containers, they unload what they want, and trucks come, pick it up, and they drive away.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the modern train heist, next time on Marketplace.
That is a look ahead today on our Thursday here on KCBX. Latino USA coming up from 2 till 3 o'clock, followed by Fresh Air from 3 to 4, and then it's Marketplace at 4. Right now, let's return to Lotta Murdy and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Lotta.
Thanks, Brad. So right before the break, Edwin Weaver, the executive director of Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, who's one of my guests today, along with Alonso Perez, who is also with Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, a program specialist focused on youth homeless services. And before the break, I was talking to both of them about a youth action coalition that Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley has, and then a youth group that follows from the coalition. And the coalition is made up of folks in Santa Maria Valley from 12 different sectors in the community. And so Edwin's going to tell us what those 12 sectors are.
Oh, man. I'm going to do my best. So educators, law enforcement, public officials, business people, parents, of course, youth, clergy. And then I'm going to be lost after that. Probably public health, I would think, mental health. Oh gosh, and then I'm out of gas here. So I apologize, but it's the idea is to get multidisciplinary lenses on this problem, and not just one lens at the table. And so that's the big thing is we want to have a diverse group of people, not just diversity in the classic sense of the term, but professional diversity as well. And so that's who makes up our coalition.
That's very comprehensive. And so let's say one of our listeners is interested in being part of this coalition, representing one of those sectors.
So
what can they do?
Yeah, they can show up on Tuesday at Foursquare Church in the back parking lot. There's a building at 11:30, and we will feed them. There'll be a free lunch, and they can come and listen and hear from us about what we're up to, and then also comment of any concerns that they may have around youth and substance use. So we have a lot of folks who like to come and partner with us. Code enforcement is one of my favorite. They're a very important part of the equation as they make sure that there's not illegal grows in the community and enforcing our social host ordinance in town as well.
So this is every Tuesday?
No, once a month.
Once a month. Okay.
This happens to be the first Tuesday as this coming Tuesday.
The first Tuesday of the month.
Yes.
Very good.
Or they could go to our website at fbsmv.com and learn more.
Great. Listeners, don't hesitate to call in to ask questions about Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley and its youth efforts. 805-781-3875, or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. Alonso, if any of our listeners want to support services for homeless youth, what can they do?
Well, a couple of things that they can do to support the homeless youth could be by donation basis. We do take donations for professional clothing. A lot of our young youth do not have access to suits, to shoes, and to things like that. So if they would like to donate some professional clothing for interviews, that would be extremely necessary. And they can reach out to us through our office, Suite 105, 201 South Miller, and we would be happy to help.
And can they also go to the website?
They can also go to the website, and they can also call our phone number, which I do not know.
805-346-1774. And then also we're always looking for landlords who want to rent to our clients, because it's really hard for them to get into housing. If you are a landlord and this was your retirement, maybe someone with no credit who is 19 and maybe have had a job for 2 months isn't the best tenant in your mind. But the great news is we vouch for them. So we promise you that they won't damage your property. If they do, we will pay for all the repairs. If you have a problem with them, you can call us and we will go take care of whatever issue that you're having with your tenant. And then if you eventually do need to evict them, we will help you through the eviction process. And we've had to do that once or twice. We really believe in our landlords and want to be good stewards of that. So anybody who has rental rental property in the area, want to rent to our young people, please give us a call. We were desperately looking for places to put our young people safely housed.
So let us know where that funding comes from for Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley.
Yeah, so our Santa Barbara County Continuum of Care applied for a HUD grant called the YHDP, which stands for Youth Development Homeless Program. And so HUD was amazing. They sent us technical supporters to help us. Once we were approved, it took us three years in a row. But once we got approved, they sent technical people. And we used formerly homeless young adults and currently homeless young adults and even youth met together with these technicians and people from the county to develop what are the needs in Santa Barbara County. And so the Navigation Center, for example, was the highest priority. They wanted a place to go. And so so we applied for that and we got the money and we got the technical support. And so that's coming through HUD. And unfortunately – most recently, that technical support was taken away. With the change in administration, they decided it wasn't important to support that part of the grant. And so Homebase is the technical consultant. They were no longer under contract. And then unfortunately, also our funding was frozen. So if you'll remember a couple weeks ago, people across the country were trying to get monies for contracted services like this one. That week, we had $45,000 that needed to go out the door for either our landlords that we've promised them rent for, and then to pay our staff. And the portal was closed on that Monday afternoon. And so it was a bit of a panic for us because that's a lot of money, $45,000 to come up with. We're thankful for our bank. They were on standby, and we're thankful for the other people who decided to advocate to make sure those portals got reopened up, and they did. So we were able to finally pull down that money. But it's perilous to think about, all of a sudden not being able to write these rent checks for the 15 young people who are in permanent supportive housing or the rapid rehousing that we provide. So it's a federally funded program that is at risk of being removed any moment in time. So it's pretty scary for all of us.
It is. I had a moment of panic there as you were talking about it, as we all do with federally funded programs right now. You also have donation-based programs, though?
We do. We accept donations. We don't have a lot of donations, so we always are looking for more. But we've been supported by a lot of foundations, like the Fund for Santa Barbara, the Santa Barbara Foundation, and other foundations that are in a community that invest in the Santa Maria area. And then we also rely a lot on contracted services, partnerships with our school districts, partnerships with the Department of Probation, partnerships with the County of Santa Barbara. Child Welfare Services partners with us as well. So different people or groups who need work done that they think we might be pretty good at doing hire us to do that work.
Can you talk about how else recent political changes are affecting youth in Santa Maria Valley?
Well, I think the biggest one around something that people don't really think about is around its school attendance. And so, Santa Maria has a very high population of farm working families, and they don't always get all the information that they might need in the same ways you and I might. And so many of them at different times have been afraid to go to school or to send their children to school because they're afraid that somebody might come to school and take their children, or they may take the adults away and then the children come home to an empty house. And so there's been a lot of fear around that and a lot of concerns around what that would look like for a child. And so we've had to assure as best we can, because we don't control what other people do, that school is a safe place. And so I know all the schools in our valley have made statements around that, as well as the city of Santa Maria. The mayor, Alice Patino, read a statement at a city council meeting saying, hey, the police are not involved with immigration issues. You can still call the police if you have a problem. If you have domestic violence in the home or some other problem, you can still call the police. So everybody's trying to do their part. But it's a time of unknown, and every day is a new day. And so I think that's the biggest concern and the anxiety that creates in our young people and their families. There's a lot of anxiousness in our community, I think.
There is, certainly. I feel it as well. Lonzo, what would you say is a general misunderstanding or misperception in Santa Maria about its youth?
I think an often misconception is that most of our youth that are homeless are drug addicts. I think most of the time when you see a young youth individual on the street, you immediately think, oh, well, what are they on, or thinking like that. But a lot of times what I've noticed being at this job is that it has a lot to do with mental illness. A lot of times a lot of them are struggling with anxiety, a lot of generational mental illness as well. And I feel like also Santa Maria has not been too great about helping our youth with mental instabilities. So I feel like that's often a huge misconception that all of them are lost in drug or gang affiliated.
That's really unfortunate because Santa Maria is a young city. As I keep telling people, the average age in Santa Maria is 29 years old.
Very young.
Very young. And so we would all benefit, right, as a community from focusing more on our youth.
Correct. And yeah. And how to mentally stabilize them as well. Mm-hmm.
So is mental health one of those sectors then that's represented?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have support from our, you know, in Santa Barbara County, our mental health department is called BeWell, Behavioral Wellness. And so they're part of our coalition as well. In fact, they're one of our sponsors. They fund our coalition work for North County. So they're a huge supporter of that. So I failed to mention them, which I shouldn't have, because they have two houses. They have their mental health and their alcohol and drug prevention work that they use through Drug Medi-Cal. And so, yeah, they're a huge supporter. And, Lonzo's correct in that a lot of our young people need an adult who will say, I believe in you. I care about you. I unconditional positive regard. And it's hard in the systems that they're in because, you know, they've kind of earned some ill will after choices they've made over time. And so people are frustrated with them. And so we can kind of come in fresh and go, look, you're valuable. You're going to make it. Let's do this. Come on. I got your back. And so that's really great that we can do it fighting back. Someone like Lonzo can come in fresh and say, yeah, I know you did all those things in the past, but today's a new day. Let's get going. Let's get up and, you know, let's get that job. Let's get that application in. Let's get housing. And so that's a big relief to our families too. I think the other myth that Lonzo alluded to earlier too is that somehow these are others, but they're not. I've had three families that are friends of mine use our services for their adult children. Two-parent home, well-off, college-educated families where substances took over the lives of their child who is now an adult. And they can't take care of it because it's an adult who now needs adult services and has to agree to it. So now the young adult is on the street as a choice, and because there were limits set in the house and they broke those limits, and so now they're out. And so these are our kids that are on the street. They're not, you know, they're not strangers. They're our nephews and nieces, our grandkids, our neighbors' children, our children's friends. Are on the streets. And so I think that's the other big thing is somehow we like to push them out and say they're other people's problems when they're really ours, you know, and they're part of our family. And so I think that was something that was a little bit surprising to me, but not so much. As a parent, I know parenting is really hard. And some, you know, one day your child just decides to do what they're going to do. And that's great, but sometimes it's a bad choice they make that's harmful to themselves. And hopefully we're there to help when that happens.
Any other, I don't want to say discoveries, but things you've learned over the years that you weren't expecting or changes you've noticed among youth in Santa Maria?
I'm just baffled by the amount of unsupervised computer time that our children have on their devices. I'm I sound so old fashioned when I say this. I tell parents, would you allow your child to walk out your door and get into an unmarked van in front of the house and let that person drive off? And they go, no, of course not. You know, we'd never let. Okay, but you let your child get on to a device with people you've never met before, and they now have influence on your child's life. So I get a little bit bamboozled by that. I would like parents to do a lot more around how their children are spending their time and with whom are they spending it with. I think if we could kind of button that up a little bit, I think it would help all of our children. It's okay to say to a child, you don't need to be on your device this weekend. Could you imagine doing that? No screen time for a whole weekend, how that would go over. But just to see what would happen. You know, do we get out books? Do we play board games? And just get – because we all know – those of us that researched it all know that these social media platforms are really bad for our nervous system. They're bad for our psyche. They're bad for our self-esteem. And yet we just keep allowing our children free access to it. And somehow we have to start setting some limits. And I don't know. I think it surprises me that we haven't done that yet.
This is Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. And there's still time for your emailed questions about fighting back Santa Maria Valley. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org and we will get them on the air. My guests for today's show are Edwin Weaver, Executive Director of Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, and Lonzo Perez, Program Specialist focused on youth homeless services with Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley. And we are talking about Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley and its youth initiatives and programs. Lonzo, I noticed that you were nodding when Edwin was talking about unsupervised screen time and kids, and he gave a powerful example of would you let your child just enter a vehicle with a stranger. Do you want to talk some more about that unsupervised screen time and what you're noticing with youth in homeless services?
Yes, I have definitely noticed an upbeat of the screen time for sure. But what I have noticed is the young people, when we're talking about their necessities and something that they need for today, what is something that I can help you with? I'm thinking they might need a meal, they might need a blanket. The first thing that comes out of their mouth is they need Wi-Fi. Where can I get Wi-Fi? Is there anywhere where I can get some Wi-Fi where I can always just take it with me? And I'm like, yeah, that's something I can't really help with. And it really speaks out to where they believe that they can get the most help through the internet. You know, instead of through person relationships or talking face to face. I have noticed that many of them disconnect with their families because of the same reason. A lot of the young people that I work with have families who work in agriculture in the field, so they have most of the day to do whatever they like. And whatever they like is either in video games or on the internet. You know, so I do feel like it affects their connection with time. Like their connection with time is just non-existent when they're on their phone. And appointments, I set an appointment with them. A lot of them kind of lose track of time. They're on their phones. They're on their systems and just not really realizing that time goes by and quick. You know, so I do feel like it affects them in many more aspects than just them being on the internet.
And I'm guilty of some of this as well as someone who's not young.
Yeah, as adults, we don't set a very good example, I know. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking off break about our mediation programs in the schools, and you know, 75% to 90% of those conflicts start online. And so again, it's one of those deals where, you know, young people say things and do things they would never do in person, you know, but something happens magically when we're online. We can say most horrible things or comment, make the most horrible comments to people, and it creates conflict. And then, you know, people's feelings are hurt and self-esteem are damaged. And so, again, I think it all connects, and we know that, you know, kids are anxious these days, and that a lot of these products are contributing to that anxiety, and they're sleep deprived. I can't tell you how many times I'll sit there and ask a young person what time they go to bed, and they say 11 or 12 o'clock, and they have to be up at 6 for school. And so, you know, we know that they need 10 hours of sleep, and so they're sleep deprived, and they're online, and they're not sleeping soundly. And so all that is contributing to them not being successful.
I'm guessing a lot of this has to do with the pandemic as well.
Made it a lot worse. Yeah, I think those students, you know, my son graduated in 20. He was at a swim meet when they closed the school down his senior year. And I'm 100% sure he would have gone to a four-year. But he tried to go to college online and hated it and said, no, just checked out. So I think the pandemic taught us a lot, and it created a lot of damage.
Do you have some insights into that as well,
Lonzo? I mean, the pandemic affected me. You know, I was also at Hancock my last semester, actually, at Hancock when the pandemic hit. And it really affected my education, but it mostly affected my mental health. And it was probably due to the fact that I was spending a lot more time on the phone, a lot more time watching things that I probably shouldn't have been, instead of educating myself. And it was also due to the fact that they – you know, kind of eased up on us in college at that time. So it was a lot easier to use my phone as an advantage to, you know, get better at my classes, but as well as, you know, do things that I wasn't supposed to be doing and not paying attention to my education. So I also feel like it did affect me personally.
And do you think you're still seeing the effects of that with youth?
Well, I am happy to announce that, you know, we had a huge absentee problem after the pandemic when it came back to coming back to schools. But that's slowly trickling away. So we do have much better attendance than we were having. But there's still that residual effect. I think we have students who, you know, they missed a year or two of schooling. Even if they attended online, it was just different. And so they just are lacking those social skills and soft skills that they need so desperately to be successful.
And that's where the mediation comes in.
Yeah, we teach them how to have a conversation and how to express what got them there and what they need to do to make it right. Yeah.
So in our last few minutes, could you each talk about the impact that working with youth in Santa Maria has had on you personally?
Oh, for sure. I feel like the biggest impact working with youth has had on me has been mostly about my nieces and nephews. I feel like I was extremely scared for them and for their upcoming futures and what they will be facing. But I feel after working with the youth and learning a lot about more resources, a lot about the benefits that they can the things that they can really benefit from through education and employment, it has really helped me understand that, hey, I am the first person they see in the mornings, so I can change their aspect and the way that they look at things, and I can really impact their lives, you know? So I feel like the biggest impact for me has been the impact that I can have on others' lives just using my own experiences.
I know I find I have a lot to learn from young people as well.
Yeah.
They're a smart bunch.
Extremely.
Yeah. How old are your nieces and nephews?
They range from 6 months to 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. How about you, Edwin? What's the personal impact this work has had on you?
I shouldn't be surprised, but I am surprised at how much people care about our kids and our community. It doesn't matter what politics people have. When I start asking them about kids and about trajectory and support, everybody is on the same page. They all believe that children deserve an education, they deserve support, they deserve love, they deserve care. And so that's nice. And it's nice to know that every morning that I have the full support of everybody in the community because we're all on the same page when it comes to certain things. And so it really wasn't a surprise, it shouldn't have been a surprise, but it was. And I think the other big thing is I'm joyfully surprised and shouldn't be about how awesome the team at Fighting Back is. You know, folks like Lonzo and others who just every day show up to work giving 110% to help children, help youth be better and really laying it down there. And it's just a beautiful thing that I get to be a part of it and lead it and watch them just grow as professionals. You know, a lot of people we hire, this is their first job out of college, and we love shaping them and watching them be successful. And then finally, a lot of them launch to something else, which is wonderful as well. So that's a big joy, and a lot of it's new every day watching people do great things.
That's inspiring. So tell us again where we, our listeners, can go to support, to find out more.
Yeah, our website are our initials, so it's fbsmv.com, stands for Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley.com, or you can call 805-346-1774. We'd love to hear from you.
Are you also on social media?
We are.
Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and I don't think our TikTok is up yet. It might be, and I might not know that.
And, of course, we are always at our office, 201 South Miller at Suite 105. If you have any type of homeless question or homeless disparity and you just need somebody to talk to, you can always find us there as well.
I want to thank today's guests, Edwin Weaver, Executive Director of Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, and Lonzo Perez, who is the program specialist or a program specialist focused on youth homeless services with Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley. We have been talking about FBSMV or Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley and its recent initiatives, efforts, and programs centering youth in Santa Maria. Next week, join Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik as he talks to Sky McLennan, Executive Director of the SLO International Film Festival. They will discuss highlights from the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival program. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation on Thursday, April 3rd, between 1 and 2 p.m. I'm Lotta Murti. Thank you for joining us today.